Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
See if we can get to the message tonight. See, so used to preaching at night. I don't know what time of day it is anymore. Today, we're talking about our life of faith, or the life of faith is where we left off. And even though I didn't touch on the scriptures, I sound like what we just talked about is the life of faith that we live. And let's go to our faith scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And most of us have memorized that passage, right? Because it says, and I'll start it out, without faith, what? And then it goes on to say, what's the rest of that? All right, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, let me see if I can unwrap this faith thing a little bit. God is saying to us, and get this, if we don't believe in him, he won't do anything for us. And we see this when Jesus was on the earth. Jesus goes around from city to city, town to town, doing all sorts of miracles, right? He's casting out devils, raising the dead. But then he gets to his own hometown. You guys know the story? And he goes there, and the Bible says he could not do very many miracles there. And he said, because of their unbelief. Now, did you get that? Jesus, the second in the line of the Trinity, is on the face of the earth. He can do anything. He says, if you have faith in God, you can speak to this mountain and it will obey you. And he could have literally told that mountain to get up and move. He could have. And he goes to his hometown, and they don't have enough faith to believe that he can do these things. And guess what happens? He can't do these things. Are you getting this here? So what does that tell us? And this always boggles my mind when I even think about it. But that God won't do anything if you don't believe he can do it. Isn't that amazing? The God, now let me correct this, because sometimes people get that out of whack. Because sometimes people say stuff like, oh yeah, well, if the believers don't believe, God won't do. That's not true. Because God's plan is going to be fulfilled. There's no stopping Jesus coming back. In other words, we're not, I believe Jesus come back. I believe, no, that's a set fact. Okay, so we're not talking about stuff like that. We're not talking about the overall plan of God. But when it comes to our individual lives, if we don't trust and believe in God, he cannot do for us what we need him to do in our individual lives. Are you with me here? So God's plan is going to be fulfilled. Let me just say this too. I've heard people say stuff like, well, if people don't pray, God can't do what he's planned to do. Look, God ain't waiting for us to pray. He can't be, because there's too many folks that ain't praying. I mean, think about it. Folks, I mean, there's been study after study. The average pastor prays less than 5 minutes a day. That's his job. That's her job. And they came, and Peter said, we're not going to leave tables, but we're going to pray and study the word. That's my job. I'm not going to start serving tables, but my job is to pray, preach, and do what God has called me to do. But today, those that have the vocation of a pastor and a teacher and an apostle and a prophet and an evangelist, they want you to call them that, but they don't want to pray. So God is not waiting for us to pray so that he can do for us. Because if he were, nothing would ever get done. Let's just straighten that out right now. But what he is doing is looking for people who will get in line with what he's got in mind. And that comes with a mind to pray. See, Annas was talking about praying in warfare. See, God wants to tear down the evil powers, the principalities in the community, and he's going to do it. But if you want to join in with him, then you can join in. That's the way God works. A lot of people have heard people say stuff like, well, God had to have Abraham to get his plan to work. No, if Abraham said no, somebody else would have been, he would have moved on and found somebody else. Because his plan is not going to be thwarted. He's not going to be kept from doing what he said he's going to do. I don't care what they say. The children of Israel could have all died and he would have started all over again, because that's what he told Moses. He said, look, I'll kill them all. I'll take you and we'll just start all over again. Didn't he say that to him? Did he say that? But Moses says, please, Lord, some of my best friends are in that group that you're going to kill. So can you, my cousins, my brothers, my uncles, please don't kill me. Yeah. They all family, The children of Israel, they all family. So Moses said, no, Lord, please don't kill them, but use them. So God is not going to be stopped when his overall plan is in place, or it's already in place. He's going to fulfill it. But what he's asking us to do is get on board. Get on board with the plan, because the ship is going whether you get on it or not. And so a lot of times, sometimes we get faith. My faith is so. No, your faith is what God says it is. And that's in his word, to trust what his word says that you're able to do and he's able to do through you. And that's it. You can't change the course of events. You cannot stay the second coming of Jesus because you pray. He's going to come whether you like it or not. Now you may ask, Lord, let my family members and friends come in before you come. And that should be our prayer. Lord, save our family members, because we know the hour is getting late. I mean, it's obvious that the hour is getting late. I heard a show. And if you want to see how the enemy, the Antichrist system is moving, watch the Business Channel. You might say, the Business Channel? Yeah, because they're coming up with every way in the world how to pay for your goods and services. How many have heard of the Google Wallet? Now Apple's coming out with the wallet, the Apple Wallet. What the Apple and Amazon has an Amazon Wallet. What the Amazon Wallet is you can take your phone and just scan it and buy whatever you have in your account. It's just like a bank account. So you see, they're even challenging banks, Apple, Google, Amazon. And banks are trying to figure out, that's our field, man. What are you doing? We got to get a piece of this. So the world is getting more and more to a cashless system. I mean, the retina scanning. The new Apple iPhone, you can use your thumbprint. And if your thumbprint don't match, they won't open it. So I'm saying optical, all these things, the enemy is preparing the world for a cashless system. And the church ain't got a clue. All we're trying to say is, Lord, send the power. Lord, send the power. Yes, Lord, send the power. But Lord, quicken our understanding so we can know the season that we're living in. Amen. I mean, everything is a violation now. They're trying to make it so that if the gospel is preached, it could be determined to be against the law. when it comes to certain subjects. And we all know what that subject is, right? You can't say anything about homosexuality anymore without being called, you know, forget the names. Now, I remember there's a guy, remember Chick-fil-A? The guy says, well, I believe in traditional marriage. Now, that's not against anything. That's just something that's been going on for centuries. But they want to shut him down. The city of Chicago said, we're not having any more Chick-fil-A's in the city of Chicago just because he believed that marriage was between a man and a woman. But see, it's not about being a man and a woman. Where do you get the idea that the family is one man, one woman? Where do you get the idea from? The scriptures. So what they're saying is, you can't preach that anymore. You can't say that anymore. Because things have changed. No, things have not changed. But are we willing to stand on the truth, even though it may cost us something? Amen? And the church has been put to sleep because we don't want to stand for the truth. And we're going back to faith, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. We can't please God if we're not going to believe that the word of God is the final authority, no matter what it costs to follow it. Are you with me here? The word of God, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are we willing, and I guess I'm sidetracking, I'm not even going to get into my notes today. Are we willing to believe the word of God to such an extent that we'll lay our lives down for it? Think about that. And I know we're not faced with that today, but we have to decide that today so that when they come with the guns, we're not saying, oh, no, no, not me, the next house, next door. I'm willing. I'm not one of those guys. Come on, not me. But we have to decide today we are one of those guys. We're willing to lay our lives down like the disciples. Every disciple except John died. Even the additional disciple died. Whether it was Matthias, he got killed. They tried to kill John, but they couldn't kill John for some odd reason. But he obviously ended up dying. Paul died. He wasn't one of the 12, but he died. Why? Because he believed in the gospel. And they didn't even have the Bible. Can you imagine? These are the guys that are going off Old Testament truths. We got New Testament and some don't want to read the old and but we got what they didn't have and some of us can't even believe what we got. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe. So when we're faced with a circumstance, somebody's threatening us, somebody's says they're going to tear us down. Somebody says, I'm going to run you out of business. Somebody says, I'm going to make you lose your job. Somebody says, I'm going to tear up your family. Somebody says, I'm not going to let this church survive here. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. And all we have to do is stand up and says, if this is the will of God for my life, you can't touch it. But if we cower under the attack, then they can. That's right. They can. That's right. Peter promised, Lord, I'll not deny you. I'll die with you. And what happened? What did Peter do? He said it, but he didn't do it. And he ran away in the face of opposition. Now, we know Peter came back, but Jesus told Peter, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. Do you know that the devil wanted to use Peter as Judas? And Judas volunteered? He volunteered because he went to meet with them and told them, look, I'll bring him to you. How much are you going to give me for him? They But Jesus is talking to Peter. Peter, the devil is trying to sift you. All of them were subject to being taken away. But Peter, Judas volunteered because he thought he was going to get some money out of it. And he did get some money out of it until he threw it back to him. He said, I made a mistake. Here, take the money. We don't want the money. Everybody has to stand when their time comes to stand. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. What's the faith that we're standing on? We're standing on the fact that Jesus came to this earth, lived a sinless life, born of a virgin who never knew a man, lived, died, and rose from the dead, and is coming back again. We have to stand for that truth. I heard a guy on the radio say this. They said, if you could interview anybody in the world, who would you interview? Now, I was shocked because this is a sports talk show. And he said, I would interview Jesus. I want to know what happened between 12 and 30. What did he do in those years? And this other guy, his co-host said, yeah, I'd like to ask him a whole bunch of questions because he doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But see, they think they can just come up to Jesus and say, hey, buddy, how you doing? Tell us about, man, look, the guys went to arrest Jesus and they said, man, there's nobody that talks like this guy. I've never seen a guy like this guy. He said, why didn't you arrest him? He says, no man ever spoke like him. You don't get in God's presence and just become all your bombastic self and say, well, tell me what you're going to do with this world because I don't understand it and I don't like it. That's what the world thinks they can do to God. But when they come up to Jesus, they fall down and they can't say nothing. Remember the guys who came to arrest him? He says, I'm the guy. And they all fall down. And he says, I said I'm the guy. What are you doing on the ground? If he didn't want to be arrested, he couldn't be.
That's right.
Because they can't stop God. He can't stop him. And death couldn't stop him either. Jesus had to rise from the dead because he had no sin in him. You and I have to die, but he couldn't die. It just took a few days. I think he probably stayed there a couple of days because he said it would be 3 days. But they couldn't kill him. Adam could not have died if he had not sinned. Think about that. There was no death in him. He could have jumped off the cliff, broken every bone in his body, and still not died. Because you can't kill God's life. But we have to believe. We have to believe. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. All we have to do is hang on to the gospel truth. We don't need to understand all the ins and outs, but that Jesus is the Son of God. And I know that's offensive in this day and age. The Muslims don't like it. The Buddhists don't like it. The atheists don't like it. But that doesn't change it. That does not change it. I'm sorry you don't like the fact that Jesus loved you so much that he died for your sin, which don't make sense. But they don't want to do it the way he wants us to do it. Just like Naaman, when he came, he had leprosy.
Yes, sir.
And he couldn't get healed of leprosy. And Elisha gave him a prescription.
Yes, sir.
And he said, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it that way. And he said, well, if he had told you to do it a hard way, would you have done it? Yes. Well, all he told you to do is get in the water, dip 7 times, and you'd be clean. Why won't you do that? And he scratched his head for a second. Yeah, why didn't I? So what did he do? He did it, and he was so happy he wanted to give everything he had away because he was cleansed by doing it whose way? God's way. At first, he was offended that God, the prophet wouldn't come talk to him face to face. That really was his problem. He didn't even go see him. What's the second in command? Send him down to him and tell him, go dip in the water 7 times and he'll be healed. Gehazi. But Gehazi, we know what happened to him. Anyway, but because people don't want to do it God's way, and he really has only made one way. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. If he says you got to come this door, you got to come that door. You can't come this door when he says it's that door. Because if you come that door, you're going to jump into the abyss and keep going until the fire never stops. But if you come in that door, that's the right door. How many of you guys remember Let's Make a Deal? Remember that show? Does that show still come on? It was always door number one, door number two, and door number three. Two doors had good prizes. One had a horrible prize. And if you didn't pick the right door, you got the horrible prize. Well, in God's kingdom, there's only two doors. And he's already showed you which door it was. There's no guessing game. I am the door. And then they say, I don't want that door. I am the door. I don't want that door. I don't want that. Got to be a second door. There can't be just one door. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards you. Everybody say, rewards me for diligently seeking him. That means you have to push to be diligent. Faith, Abraham had to fight to get that son on the earth. He had to fight the flesh of his body. He had to fight the flesh of his wife. And then he had to fight the good idea of his wife. I can't have a son, but Hagar can. We'll have it one way or the other. And Abraham didn't argue. He said, let's try it. And look what we got today. Trouble. But then God comes 11 years later and said, Sarah's going to have a child. So, Sarah, you were wrong. You're still going to bear that child. 90 years old, you're still going to have the child. Because there's only one way. He's going to do this thing. And today, this day, the Muslims claim Ishmael is the promise. And the scripture says Isaac is the promise. Did you guys know that? Did you know the Muslims claim Ishmael was the promised child? Yes, they do. He's the firstborn, according to scripture. But that's why God told him, send him away. Because then once he's sent away, he's no longer a part of the household. And so Isaac is the only one to claim the blessing. Are you with me here? But the enemy tried to make two doors, but God said there's only one. Amen? I know it seems like I'm rambling, but I'm not. I'm on the same scripture. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's stand. I want to pray for those that are fighting in a fight for whatever the situation is, your body, your business, your job, your family. I want to pray that.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.